We are thrilled to have Corey Nichols with us today for Destiny Rescue as we focus on Rescue Sunday. And we had Corey here a few months ago, and I thoroughly enjoyed getting to know him. His energy is even more powerful than my own on a Sunday morning. If you're a little, kind of moving a little slowly today, just stand next to him. It just something happens. So let's welcome Corey as he shares with us.
I think I have it on. Testing is. Can you hear me? Well, it is an honor to be back with all of you. I love this area of the country. I don't get up here very often, but when I do, it's beautiful. Lake Ontario. I try to get out over to the lake. I just love water. God, there's something beautiful about water. It reminds me of God's creation. And it's an honor just to be back. And I'm excited to be able to share a message with you. I love that we were able to do communion, just focusing on the whole meaning of why we do what we do. Jesus. Jesus gave it all so that we could live and we can be in relationship with the most incredible God of the universe, the creator of all things. And God wants us to be participants in his kingdom work in the earth. And so my prayer today, as you hear this message, I've been praying that number one, you would understand God's heart for justice. You would understand that he cares deeply about those being exploited and taken advantage of. And he wants us as his people to be participants in his work. We are his hands and feet. We're not just here to take up airspace and to take up body space on this planet, but God wants to use you and me in his kingdom work. Amen? Amen. So I have a message. It's called Slaying the Giant of Child Trafficking. Oh, you already got it. That's good. Already up there. This is good. Slaying the Giant of Child Trafficking. And I'm going to be talking about two stories today. It's the story of David and Goliath. And we're going to learn about David had a heart after God. He was a man that had a heart after him. And we're going to also learn about the Good Samaritan. And those two stories are going to set us up for why Destiny Rescue does what it does in the earth, but also why we as God's people should care deeply about what God's doing in the earth, and we can be participants in that. Amen? So we're going to be starting in 1 Samuel 17, 1-8. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. Sorry if you don't have that translation. Just follow along, or you can listen to me. The Philistines, starting in verse 1, the Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Soko, I don't even know if that's right, and Judah and Azekah at Iphies Damamin. These are hard words. King Saul, that's the Israelite king, countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills and the valley with a valley between them. So you have these two armies, God's people and the Philistines, that have come out to attack them. And there's a big valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out to the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I'm the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Goliath was a formidable foe that stood between the Israelites and victory. He was tall. He was strong. He had armor and weapons. A javelin, a bronze javelin. He had a sword. He had a shield. He had an armor bearer that went before him. And he was an experienced warrior, a champion from his youth. And he taunted, and his very taunts and presence caused the Israelite warriors and King Saul to cower in fear. They were immobilized for 40 days. They couldn't do anything. They were too scared to send somebody out to fight this giant. In 1 Samuel 17:16, just going down a little bit more, it said, for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champions strutted in front of the Israelite army, and they could do nothing. No one had the courage to go out and face them. Have you ever faced a giant where you were so afraid to face it, you were immobilized? You just didn't have the courage to act. You didn't know what to do. Maybe it was a giant of debt, the giant of failure and shame and guilt. You couldn't get beyond that. Maybe a giant of confusion, a giant of health problems, a giant of singleness, a giant of evil and injustice. We all face giants in our life that can keep us from our destiny if we don't know how to face the giant with God's help and have victory. The very thought of combating the giant of human trafficking can seem daunting. It can cause a person like you and me to be immobilized just thinking about the enormity of the problem. And what could I do? Little old me. What could Bible Baptist Church do? Little old church. Every church in our world is little compared to some of the giants we face, especially the issue of human trafficking. But when we take our little bit and put it in the hands of Almighty God, He can take it and do something incredible. But He's looking for men and women and children and young people to say, I'm about to do something. I want to do something against this fight. You see, the issue of human trafficking, it's a global issue. It's the fastest growing illegal enterprise in our world today. Let's see, can we go forward? Can you advance to the next slide, please? It's a massive moneymaker. It's a $150 billion a year industry. $99 billion is specifically related to sexual exploitation. Men, women, and children being bought and sold for sex. It's every country in our world is affected by this great evil. And right now, there's at least a million children. As you and I speak right now, there's a million children that are trapped in the sex industry, and they're crying out for somebody to have the courage to come rescue them right now. And maybe you're thinking today, can I seriously make a difference in this fight? Can I move the mound of darkness that I'm up against, that our church is up against? Can I actually do something? We can learn a lot from the life of David. He didn't focus on his formidable foe, Goliath. He kept his eyes on how big his God was. You see, anytime God is asking us to do something, He's equipped us and empowered us to play our part. If we start focusing on the wrong thing, how big the giant is, we miss the opportunity to be God's hands and feet because we get immobilized with fear. David had a different spirit. He was a giant slayer. Jesse, David's father, asked him, go to the front lines and see your older three brothers and see how they're faring. So he went to the battlefield and went to the front lines, and he overheard some other Israelite soldiers talking about what the king would offer the person who would go out and defeat Goliath. And he said he would give them his daughter in marriage, and his whole family would be removed from having to pay taxes. Well, David's older brother overheard David talking with one of these soldiers. And he rebuked David and said, what are you doing here? You're arrogant. You're just out here to view the battle and find out what's going on. Go home, basically. This is what's interesting about David, though. He shook off his critics. Hear that. When you are about to do something God wants you to do, you many times will have critics that say you can't do it. or they'll say something to you because they think your motive is wrong when your motives are right. And so if you and I are going to face the giants that God's asked us to victoriously, we will have to shrug off the critics that say we can't do it. When God puts an assignment in you, do you think the enemy wants you to succeed at the dream God's put in you? No, because that pushes back darkness. And the enemy wants to try to stop it. So he'll bring people across our path to get us to quit and give up before we even start. You and I will have critics. I had a critic. My dad is a pastor. My dad has been in ministry for many years. And my dad loves me and my family and my brothers and my sisters in an amazing way. But God had put a dream in my heart to be a communicator, to be a preacher, to be a person that could declare the truths of God's word. And one day, in my earlier 20s, my dad sat down with me and he looked at me and said, Corey, I don't see it. I don't see it. I love you, but this is who you are. You're a family man. But your twin brother, your identical twin brother, he's a great leader. And he is going to be an influential leader one day in our world. But Corey, that's not what I see for you. I was devastated. I wanted so deeply to have the affirmation of my father that he would believe the dream that God spoke to me, but I didn't get it. What, did my dad not love me? No, he loved me. But he didn't see the dream that God saw for my life. And for 10 years, I chose to believe what God said about me and chose to push through that critical spirit, those negative words that were spoken over me, and believe the truth of what God said about me. And I began to step into speaking opportunities, one after the other. In fact, my dad had me come preach at his church, and yet he didn't believe the dream he put in me. And there would be people that came up afterwards, and they said, you remind me of this preacher. You remind me of this preacher. And he would say to me, why do they say that about you? For 10 years, that went on. And eventually, it was like one day he goes, I see it. I see it. I see it. There's so much fruit coming when you declare the truths of God's word. And God blinded my eyes so that you had to learn to trust him by faith. You see, if we are not careful, our critics can sideline us. But that didn't happen with David. David pushed through his critics, and he stepped into what God had for him. David ran to the battlefield. We look at this in 1 Samuel 17:32 through 37. Can you advance the slide for me, please? Thank you. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. David had courage. He ran to the battlefield. We're going to read further in 45 through 48. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. But not with sword or spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." And then in 48, it says this, "And Goliath moved closer to attack," and get this, "David quickly ran out to meet him." The Israelites were full of fear. King Saul was full of fear. But you have this Israelite boy who spent time with God in the shepherd's field. And God was preparing him behind the scenes, conquering a lion and a bear. He had courage because he saw God's faithfulness in his life, and he remembered those things. So when he went out to face this Israelite foe, this giant, he wasn't fearful. He was full of courage, knowing what God did. So when we spend time with God and we know him and we're reminded of his faithfulness in our lives, it will help us move forward to the battleground and face our giants. And we can face the giant of human trafficking as well. I almost quit Destiny Rescue before I got started. There was a point I became a writer. And I didn't have a degree in writing. My degree was landscape architecture. Very different fields. But when 2008 economy collapsed, I lost everything, and it forced me to look for a new career. And I became a writer. I started this free blog on blogger.com, and within 2 months of me launching it, the largest Christian newspaper company in the country found it. They said, "We love how you write. What would you think about writing for us?" And that began a published writing career for me. A year into that, I came across the work of Destiny Rescue, and I was so moved by what they did. They were rescuing kids out of the most unthinkable evil. I said, "I would love to write for you," and I had to move to Thailand to do that. And so I was in Bangkok, and I had to spend the night in a hotel in Bangkok right before I was going up to Chiang Rai, Thailand, to begin my work with Destiny Rescue. And that night, I had a lot of thinking time. There was nothing in English, and I had to spend the rest of that evening by myself. And all of a sudden, the best way to describe it was this massive weight just came over me, and all these thoughts began to bombard my mind. You can't do that. You can't succeed at it. If they knew you didn't have a degree in writing, you're going to fail. Corey, you might as well just pack your bags and go home and save everybody the trouble, because you're going to fail if you go up there. They won't like you. They're gonna tell you to leave and go home, so just quit. And all these lies started bombarding me. And it was like this massive weight of fear and confusion gripped me. I got on my knees and I just said, "God, I believe this is you." And I was reminded of a scripture in Joshua. It says to be strong and courageous. And I pushed through those lies, went to the battlefield, and went straight up to Chiang Rai the next day. And it was amazing things happened. I helped build a team of 12 people that changed the face of our organization and helped shed light on this issue to countless churches and individuals across our world. I had the chance to lead 40 to 60 kids to Christ while I lived in Thailand. And 10 years later, I'm still working with Destiny Rescue, being a voice for these kids. We sometimes have to push through the lies that are the taunts of our giant. Maybe it's a giant of fear or insecurity, or you're not getting the validation you need. Our validation does not come from people, but God. When we know who we are, like David did, we can run to that battle and we can face our giant victoriously. Amen? So I want to share, I want to ask this question. What could God do with your yes? What could he do with somebody who believes him at his word? Somebody who is willing and available like David was. You see, there were a lot of people that were full of fear. But David ran to the front. He knew God could defeat this giant. And with his help, he stepped forward and did that. This is the amazing thing about that story. David defeated the Goliath, that giant. And when he did, it caused faith to rise up in the Israelites. And they went out and they conquered the Philistines. You see, God is looking for Davids. And each one of you in here is a David. God has put inside of you everything you need to succeed at what he's asked you to do. It will require faith and courage to stand up. And when you do, there'll be people around you that will be infused with faith because you have the courage to stand up and defeat your giant. Amen? There's another story I want to talk to you about. It's the story, it's the Good Samaritan story. And we find it in Luke 10. It's towards the end. But we all know this story It's a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, they robbed him, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest and Levite saw the man, and they both crossed over to the other side of the road and passed him by. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when I say despised, the Jewish people looked down on Samaritans because they were half Jewish and half Assyrian or Gentile, if you will. So they didn't believe that they were full Jews. And so they didn't associate with them. They would walk all the way around Samaria so that they did not have to interact with Samaritans. And so this despised Samaritan came along when he saw the man, a Jewish man. He felt compassion for him. The Samaritan came down to where the man was and attended to him by putting oil, wine, and bandages on his wounds. Then the good Samaritan put the man on his donkey, exchanged places with him, and took him to an inn. After taking him to the inn, the Samaritan took care of him. And the next day he paid the innkeeper 2 silver coins, which were 2 days' wages. And he said, take care of him, and when I return, if I owe you anything else, I will repay you. We can look at this parable about the Good Samaritan as a metaphor for Christ and humanity. We are the man that was robbed, beaten, and left naked, half dead beside the road. This is us in our sinful condition. The despised Samaritan represents Jesus. He came down from heaven, the Bible says. Jesus was despised and rejected by his own people. They rejected him, just as the Samaritan was rejected by the Jewish people. He came down to his own, and he was received him not. Jesus came down from heaven and had compassion on us, even though Jesus' people rejected him. He took our place and died for our sins on the cross. Here's the divine exchange of this story. The Good Samaritan, Jesus, came down off his donkey. He was on a high place, and he came down from heaven. Jesus came down from heaven to where man was and attended to this man by putting oil, wine, and bandages on his wound. Then the Samaritan put the man on his donkey. This divine exchange is this. Jesus took our place and died for our sins. He took and then took, the Samaritan took this man to the inn. After taking him to the inn, which represents the church, he took care of him. And the next day he paid the innkeeper 2 silver coins, which were 2 days' wages. And he said, when I return, if I owe you anything, I will repay you. Jesus picked us up. He delivered, saved, and cleansed us from our sin and brought us to the church, the inn, and told the innkeeper, which is pastors, church leaders, and lay members, to take care of him. And when I return, if I owe you anything, I will repay you. This is a powerful story of what God has done for us. And Jesus was telling this religious leader, who is my neighbor? And Jesus went on to tell this story of what it means to really be a neighbor to somebody. When you see injustice, when you see people that come across your path, instead of walking on by and doing nothing, you ask the Lord of the harvest, and you say, God, what part am I to play? Am I to lend a helping hand? Am I to sacrifice resources and time to help this person in need? When we take care of the broken, the hurting, the wounded, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus said he would repay us. He said, my reward is with me. He's a great rewarder of those who accomplish his kingdom work in the earth. So we are to go out into our world and be representatives of God. Luke 36 and 37, Jesus at the very end said this. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. Then the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. You see, that's an action. That's an action. When we see need in our world, we respond by taking action. Are we to be involved in every single thing in our world? No. But we are to be involved in the things that God brings across our path, or when the Holy Spirit begins tugging at our heart about an issue that we just can't get away from. Instead of turning a blind eye and walking on by, or feeling this issue is too big to face, we say, God, with you all things are possible. With you, when I step in and I do what you ask of me, miracles can happen. I can be the reason, a whole catalyst of other people that follow you can get behind what you're doing because I'm choosing to be obedient. A miracle. I want to move into the work of Destiny Rescue because it applies. It applies to what the two stories that we've heard today. You see, God cares deeply about those being exploited and taken advantage of in our world. I love this scripture in Isaiah 61. It says this, Isaiah 61:8 says this, "For I, the Lord, love justice." Because he loves justice. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what other people think. I don't care, ultimately, can I say this respectfully? What you think. I care what God thinks. And as followers of Christ, if anything that we believe contradicts God and his plan for our lives, we are to drop it and embrace his. That is being a follower of Jesus. That is saying, God, because of what you've done for me, I owe my allegiance to you. And if there's any wayward way in me, anything that does not align with your heart for humanity, I drop it and I embrace yours. God is a God of justice. Psalm 82, 3 through 4 says this, "Give justice to the poor and the orphan." Yes, you're falling right along. This is amazing. I'm going to buy you a coffee or something afterwards. This is awesome. "Give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and helpless. Deliver them from the grasp of evil people." You see, both the stories we talked about today align with this very theme of God. It's action. David went straight to the battleground, and he knew that his people needed somebody that would have courage. And he was that courage. He knew God, and he ran to the front of the battlefield, and he took action. The Good Samaritan story, this man that was despised and probably hurt by Jews. But he pushed that aside and saw this wounded man in need. And he had the courage to do something. It cost him his time. It cost him resources and energy. But look at the miracle that happened because of that. A man was saved. A man's life was spared. And we get to be part of that same work. So the work of Destiny Rescue was birthed out of that desire to connect with God's heart for justice. Destiny Rescue is an international Christian nonprofit organization that rescues children from sexual exploitation and human trafficking. And once we rescue these kids, we empower them to stay free, much like the Good Samaritan story. We rescued the bandit, these kids. We took them to an inn, one of our safe homes, or we were able to reunite them with their family and provide a solution keeping them together. And we provided the resources and tools necessary that they would be healed and restored and that they could come to know Jesus. That's God's heart. And that is the work of our organization. I want to share with you a video of a girl's own story, why it's so important that we fight this fight. This girl is speaking in her own native language, so you're going to have to read it. I'll paraphrase afterwards. Watch this.
बंद कमरे में बहुत मैंने रोया भी थी. बंद कमरे में बाहर नहीं निकलने देते थे. बिल्कुल बाहर निकलने के लिए बिल्कुल रास्ता ही नहीं था. सारे रास्ते वहाँ बंद है. एक दिन में तो या 20 या 25 मतलब जितना कस्टमर आता था उन कस्टमर को हैंडल करना पड़ता. अगर एक भी कस्टमर छूट गया ना तो हमें पकड़ के मारते थे. तो उन्होंने मुझे बहुत मारे. बहुत मुझे अभी भी मुझे पूरा जिस्म पे निशानी है. जिंदगी में कभी मैंने सोचा नहीं था मैं निकलूँ वहाँ से, तो मुझे सिर्फ यही लगता था मैं मर जाऊँ अब तो मेरे जिंदगी, पर मेरे से हुआ नहीं था, हिम्मत से मैं हार गई थी। पता नहीं भैया ने मुझे कैसे आया, परमेश्वर में मेरे लिए भेजे होंगे, हिम्मत करके, बहुत हिम्मत करके मैं निकल गई वहाँ से।
We rescued that beautiful girl a couple years ago, and she was forced to have sex with customers 25 times a day. She lost all hope that her life would ever get out of that hellhole that she was in. And she was in there for 3 years. We rescued her at 16 years old. And how we rescued her? Our agent was able to go undercover. It was a very dangerous area in one of our undisclosed countries. And he was able to slip her a cell phone and a blunt edge tool that was able to carve out of a second story window. She had the courage to keep fighting, not to give up. And she carved out of this second story window, this window frame, and she pushed it out. She tied clothes together. She called the agent. He came. She climbed down the second story window with clothes tied together. And traffickers saw her when she was doing that. They started running after her, and she was able to get into that car and drive away. Today she's safe. You know how that happens? The church of Jesus Christ catches God's heart for justice. Those rescues don't happen unless the church rises up and runs to the front of the battle lines and says, I'm willing to play the part God is asking me to play. And because of that, you guys have been faithfully sowing into our work for many years now, and you are helping make rescues like that happen every single day. And I could not be more grateful for the work that you're doing, because I'm telling you, it is bearing incredible fruit throughout our world. That girl said she had lost all hope. She thought she was going to die in there. But her life changed because God cares for those kids. He's heard these kids' cries. And he's looking for brave men and women who it will cost them something to get involved in God's eternal work and plan. So Destiny Rescue, we rescue kids all over our world. We're currently in 15 countries around our world. Two of those countries are pilot programs. We're about to make an announcement that they're live. So we work in 15 countries. I'm just going to say that. But what we do is we have undercover agents, rescue agents that risk their lives going into brothels, bars, red light areas, some of the most dangerous places in our world to find these kids that are trapped. They're crying out for help, just like that beautiful girl. And once we find these kids, we rescue them and we bring them back to one of our safe homes or into our care. And I'll explain that in a second. But our rescue efforts, since 2011, we've rescued over 10,000 individuals, mostly children. By far, mostly children. We've had over 400 successful raids and over 500 people, traffickers, arrested to face prosecution for exploiting and taking advantage of children. We have four primary types of rescue. We do raid work right alongside top law enforcement agencies. So we have MOUs or agreements, contracts with these governments to do this kind of work. And that's where we're arresting traffickers and doing raids to rescue as many kids as possible. All the while, we do it can take up to 6 months to do a coordinated raid. So we have covert rescues, meaning our agents go undercover posing as customers in some of these places. And we build the trust of these minors and we say, we can get you out of here. Do you want out? And we will rescue those kids. We also have border crossing stations. We have 18 border crossing stations on the Nepali-Indian border. And last year we rescued 722 individuals last year on that border. So our agents are all women at the border, and they interview individuals crossing that border, and they have the authority from the government to stop any vehicle, any group of people, or any individual. If they resist, they're immediately arrested. And we had 21,000 interviews last year and rescued 722 individuals. So it was amazing. It's the last line of defense before those kids will never see their families again. 45% of those we rescue before they met their trafficker on social media. So they're being groomed to do to trust them, and we're able to uncover those lies and rescue these kids. And then the last type of rescue is we do what we call survival rescue. Survival rescue is where in many countries we work in, these children have lost their parents. In one of our countries in Africa, there's 1 million street children who lost their parents to AIDS. And now they're literally on the streets fending for themselves. They don't receive government help or support. And somebody is willing to exploit them. We rescued one girl. Her parents passed away, I believe from AIDS. And at 10 years old, was left to care for her 2-year-old and 4-year-old siblings. She was the sole breadwinner in the family. And she couldn't find work, and so she did the only thing she knew to do to put food on the table, and that was to sell her body. She did that for 4 years, and we rescued her. And today, her and her siblings are now free and thriving. So we call that a survival rescue. We're rescuing many kids like that. But once we rescue these kids, we help bring healing and wholeness to them. So we have safe homes if it's not a safe option to reunite them with their families. But we will investigate, is it safe to reunite them with their family? The way it would not be safe is if they were their parents knowingly sold them. But the majority of the time, that's not the case. So in either case, we provide resources to them, Christian-based counseling. We may look at their education, vocational training. Everything needed to put these kids' lives back together again. We might provide a microloan to a family member. If the child's too young to do vocational training, we will look at an older sibling or a parent to upskill them and so that they can increase their level of income. We also care deeply that kids come to know Jesus. And so we have a gospel plan for every country that we're in. Let me see. There we go. Every country that we're in, we have a gospel plan. And kids are coming to Christ in every country where we work. It's amazing. We're just so grateful. So when you're partnering with our organization, you're playing into God's eternal plan. And we couldn't be more grateful. I want to share the story of Tala. Tala came from a great Christian family. She was from a Christian family. Get this. She was a worship leader at her church. She taught Sunday school at her church. And one day her father lost his job and could not find work. And their family began to struggle severely financially. They were starving. And so Tala, at 15 years old, said, I can go look for work and help our family survive. I'll do anything to help mom and dad survive. And so she went out to look for work, and she had no clue what was awaiting her that day. She entered this, what she thought was a restaurant, and it was a horrible place where paying customers could take her and use and abuse her. And one day she began to cry out to God, God, send an angel, do something to help. I need help. And a few months later, a couple of our rescue agents entered this brothel, and we found Tala. And they began to sit with her and ask her questions. And one of our rescue agents, he was a drummer. He was in a band. He was a drummer. And so he always liked to ask these girls, what kind of music are you into? And she, to his surprise, said, I'm into church music. And he was like, what? Tell me more. And she began to share the devastating story that her father lost his job and that she was a Sunday school teacher and a worship leader at a church. She loved God, but how she went out to look for work, and she ended up in this place, and she'd been crying out to God that God would send an angel to deliver her. And he knew right then he had to break his cover, and he said, I'm the answer to your prayer. God has sent me here to deliver you so that you can live out the destiny he has for you. She came into our care in one of our safe homes, and our caseworkers and counselors wrapped their loving arms around this beautiful girl, and she began to heal and be restored. We eventually helped her with her education, and she increased her level of education, and we reintegrated her back into society, and today she's getting a college education. Today she works at a call center, and today she's back leading worship at her church and teaching Sunday school. You know how that miracle happens? Bible Baptist Church of SOTUS. It's when you connect with God's heart like you have been doing, and you're sowing into the work of Destiny Rescue, into God's eternal plan in the earth. It doesn't return void. Seeds are being sown and kids are getting rescued out of the most unthinkable evil. It's the Good Samaritan story. When you're walking by, instead of just passing on by when you see need, you're getting down and dirty. You're picking up this wounded person and you're willing to invest your time, talent, and resources into the things of God. And because of that, girls like Tala are getting rescued every single day. Right now, we're rescuing on average 9 victims a day. We're having our most successful year ever. We've rescued over 2,000 just this year. And we know where these kids are at. We know how to get them out. But the one thing that's really keeping us from doing more is resources. It's simply put, it's the honest truth. It's resources. And so I'm here today not only to inspire you and encourage you to continue to be part of God's kingdom work, but to ask sincerely, God, what part do you want me to play in helping rescue kids from sexual slavery? So we have a couple options. Every year you guys do an offering. Every year you do an offering and you're praying through, God, what do you want us to invest our resources in? And you as a church feel compelled to participate in this Rescue Sunday every year. And when you're giving of those funds, amazing kids like Tala get rescued. The average cost it takes us to rescue a child, I'm going to come back to that story in a second, is $1,500. For some of you, that might feel like a lot of money. For others, not so much. But here's the key. I'm not asking you to do what you can't do. I'm asking you to bring your loaves of bread and fish, whatever God stirs your heart, and that you give out of the generosity of your heart to what God's asking you to do. And we're going to take up an offering. Pastor Jay's going to come up here in just a second, and we're going to take up an offering. How amazing would it be if we could rescue some kids today? And over the next several weeks, we could just, you know, if you didn't have the ability today or online, you're not here today, but you want to invest, you can do that. And you can invest in the work of Destiny Rescue. So that's one thing. We're going to take up an offering. The average cost it takes us to rescue a child is $1,500. I'm just asking you to do what God's put on your heart, and God can do something amazing with that. And then also, if God's stirring your heart, you know what? I want to give a one-time offering today, but I want to invest more on a monthly basis with Destiny Rescue. That's becoming a rescue partner. So for any monthly amount, whether that's $35 a month, $50 a month, $100, whatever your yes is, everybody's yes is different. You're helping our agents to be out on the front lines to rescue these kids, bring them back to one of our safe homes, or reunite them with their family and empower them to live the life that God wants them to do. If that's you, these packets are out on my table. Just take this envelope out. You're going to fill that out. I'll be out there to answer any questions that you have. I'm here today to say thank you for what you have done. And I'm cheering you on in the days ahead as we partner together to see what God can do with people who say yes to Him, to slay the giant of child sex trafficking. Pastor Jay, please come up. Thank you.